The message for this day is taken from the words of Exodus, which is following through on your work going through this time of Exodus. This is from the 23rd chapter and verses 10 through 19. Let me share them with you. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Pay attention to all that I have said to you, and make no mention of the names of other gods, nor let it be heard on your lips. 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, as I commanded you. You shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest, of first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather from the field the fruit of your labor. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened, or let the fat of my feast remain until morning. The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God, and you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. So far the reading. My dear Christian friends, title of our sermon or theme is Rest and Festivals. And it's based upon the lesson that I just read to you this morning. Did you know that more people run red lights in the month of December than any other month of the year? Did you know that more people have trouble sleeping during the month of December because of what they call brain clutter? They have a cluttered brain because there are so many things that they are thinking about and going on, such as travel or parties or gifts or decorations or family. It just gets cluttered, and people have a hard time getting through it. It is not an easy time to rest. It is a more difficult time because there's just a push to get things done. Get it all in when you can. Well, today, God is talking about, in one section of this, rest. Now, we must keep in mind, when we start talking about brain clutter or running red lights, we already have the celebration in front of us. We have celebrated Christmas for many years, and we're going to celebrate it again unless our Lord Jesus Christ comes in the second advent. But this time in history, these people had no idea about any of this, really. Let's keep in mind, it's only a short period of time that these Israelites had been freed from slavery in the land of Egypt. It was during this time that they finally, after all of the plagues and the killing of the firstborn with the blood over the doorpost and the feast of the unleavened bread that was there, and of course the killing of the unblemished lamb, All of that they had done. All of that they understood. They had also received the Ten Commandments. But they were still on their way to the Promised Land. And scholars believe that there could have been upwards of 1 million people in this group. This group that had gone across the Red Sea. This group that had been protected by God against the Pharaoh and saw the Pharaoh and his soldiers washed away. My wife and I have 3 children. At one time, all 3 of our children were under the age of 5 years old. And when we would go on vacation, I'm telling you, it was a real trial. Getting all those kids in there, getting all the stuff and everything else, and making sure everything was there, ready to go so we could go to her parents or my parents or just a vacation, and make sure that everything was taken care of. Now that's 5 people. We're talking here about 1 million. Can you imagine trying to get those people all on the same page and trying to move that group and get them going? Oh, they all had this thought that they were going to come into the Promised Land. Now let's remember, for goodness sakes, these people had been slaves their whole life. They hadn't been doing any great amount of farming, certainly not for themselves. These aren't people who were tending to trees and fruit and that. This was all part of a dream. They were coming to the land of milk and honey. They were going to have a ground that was going to be theirs. They were finally going to be able to do things that they wanted to do. They weren't going to be told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. But you see, now God is laying out for them some of the parameters of what's going to happen here. Now, they had already received, as I said, the Ten Commandments. So they already had, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So this whole thing about 6 days and then coming into the seventh, well, that wasn't something like, well, it was a shock to them or anything. But this thought that, hey, we want to get in there. We want to get rolling. We want to get moving. And already he's reminding us that we have to rest. We want to get those crops in. We want to get everything going. Maybe we'll have to cut a few corners. And God said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. And on top of that, he adds, then, oh, by the way, on the 7th year, you're not going to do anything. In the 7th year, when the crops are supposed to go in, you're just not going to do anything. When the crops would be ready to be taken, there's not going to be any crops. Because you're going to rest. Your animals are going to rest. The land is going to rest. And God brings them back as he brings us back. He brings us back to what's central. It's not the land. It's not the people. It's God. God is the central. God is the one who brought them out of the land. God has chosen them. And that's what's important. Don't miss the centrality of what we're talking about here. We can get all caught up in the rest. We can get all caught up in the land. We can get all caught up in what it produces. We can get all caught up in the people. And what does God say? When you go in there, don't you ever talk about another God. Don't you even let that be on your lips. Because there is only one God, and it's me. Don't cut corners. Don't make decisions that you think are in your best interest. So God places before them all of this information, and they haven't even gotten into it yet. They're ready. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. I remember when I was 16 years old in the state of Ohio, you couldn't get your temporary license until you were 16. And then you had to take driver's training in school. Well, that was all well and good, except for somebody like me who was 16 in the month of October, his junior year in high school. Man, I was really, really held back. Man, it was really messing up my social life. And I did all the things I needed to, and then the day came, I got my driver's license. My dad said, we got to have a man-to-man talk. Well, that was never a good thing for me. And when we sat down, my dad began to say, you're not going to date unless you double date. You can only have two of your friends in the car, and don't ever put three in the front seat. Well, who wants to sit in the back seat, Dad? Come on. And he just gave me this list, and I said, all I want to go is go out and drive that car. I want to get out there. I want to get moving. I'm whole, been held back. Think of what these people are. Their ancestors have been held back for 430 years. They couldn't wait to get there. Now God's laying on them all these different rules and regs. And yet, we all know what happens, don't we? They come right up to the promised land and they blow it. When they come back, after scouting it out, they're not going to get to go in because they get scared. Now, I don't want to ruin it for Pastor Michael here, so I'm not going to get too far into this. So if you tell him that I was ruining it, I'm going to deny it right in front of him. But there was something else here that God was saying to them, and that was festivals, a time to get together, a time to rejoice, a time to give thanks, a time for all of the stories that are handed down about the fact of the unleavened bread and the people leaving. What a story. What a blessing from God. What an opportunity. Those stories are so beautiful and wonderful. And then we have the festival of the harvest, which is also called the festival of weeks, because it went on for 7 weeks. And the last of those days, the 50th day, was Pentecost. And of course, we know what happened on Pentecost for us. It's the birth of the church. The birth of the church to go and share Christ. And then you have the festival of ingathering, which was also known as the festival of booths. Because the people of Israel, when they were now wandering, they would live in little booths that they could tear down very quickly, build up. But all of that, all of those stories, once again, where is the central part of this? It's God. God who blesses their harvest. God who blessed them with getting them out of Egypt. But what does God also say? Hey, folks, just don't give me any leftovers. I want the first fruits. I want the best. When you start thinking about what you're going to return to me, because let's face it, are we really giving anything to God that isn't God's already? We're just returning it. When you return, make it the best. Make it the best that you have, and make it first. Don't sit around and go, there we go. We got this. We can put that towards the God. That's not what God says. And yet through all of this, it's pretty legalistic, isn't it? I mean, it's just poof, boom, boom. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And if you don't do this, look out. And guess what? We aren't going to do it perfectly. We're going to fail. And we're going to fail miserably. And we're going to fail to people that we love. And we're going to fail to people that we're concerned about. And we're going to do it with our words, and we're going to do it with our thoughts. We're going to do it with our actions. And sometimes, when things are just so bad, we don't do anything. We just sit by and let it happen. But you see the wreath? It's reminding us of something else that's coming. It's reminding us of something that's beautiful that's coming. It's reminding us of the Son of God took our flesh. The Son of God dwelt among us. Look at, I love talking about this story more than probably any story except for the resurrection and the crucifixion. And, well, no. This is a great story. Because you and I, as we sit here, stand here, we know the reason for the season. It's not coming as a great shock to us. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ was born. And people can talk about Mary and Joseph. They can talk about the angels. They can talk about the shepherds. We can talk about the tree. Oh, my goodness. Look at all the conversation pieces we've got going here. Huh? Come on. Let's just talk. We can talk about family coming. What are you going to have to eat? Oh, great. And then there's this teeny weeny little piece. That's the center of it all. And that's what makes it so wonderful. Because that babe that takes our flesh is going to take our sins. And that babe is going to redeem us. And that babe is going to live again. And that babe is going to grow and come again. And all of what God is talking to us about in Exodus and all of the festivals, all of the rest, all of the stories come back to us again and again and again to Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And there is the sweetest gospel you're ever going to have. And that's what makes the tree, the candles, the food, the gifts, that much more wonderful. When you know it's at the center of it all. The Son of God who came, was the first fruits, was the best, and God offered his Son to you and me. And by the grace of God, that gift is in your heart and in your mind. And so I pray that you just have a great Christmas. That all of the things that you hope for and pray for will be there. But Christ is there and will continue to be there. I won't see you again before Christmas, so have a great Christmas. And I won't see you again before the new year. Have a great new year. But I'll be watching and listening about all of the great things that God blesses this family of faith with, especially the little child. Have a great rest of the year, and have a great 2026. I know I'm a little ahead of myself. Please don't tell Pastor Michael, okay? Keep that to yourself. God bless you. Amen.